love you, Lord. We thank you that for all you've done for me and my family, and Debbie's there with you now. Lord, we just can't thank you enough and praise your name enough for how precious the gospel is. And Lord, we thank you for that. Now give us a good day in church and Sunday school, and Lord, just help us to worship you and think about your word and the truth of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, Bob. There's a microphone right there.
Good morning. If you got your bulletin, let's just look at it real quick. I don't want to take any major time here so Brother Steve can teach this morning. But the big thing that's going on is the birthday offering for Jesus is starting. I want to keep that in mind. You can see the ones that they're going to be supporting and taking care of that. So that'll be going through the month of December and probably into January too as well. So keep that in mind. Then look at your dates over here. I mean, we've got a lot going on. If you want helping out with the great Christmas parade, that's coming up here on December 3rd, which is that's this coming weekend. And then the cancer meeting after the evening service on the 4th. And then you can see all the other stuff. Then Gift Sunday, December the 11th. Keep that in mind. There's going to be gifts for everybody, including the adult classes and everything like that. We've got things prepared for the kids. And keep that in mind. It's going to be a big day. And then if you'll pay attention down here, the pageant, Sunday, December 18th, the Christmas Story pageant and the evening service. And then also Christmas at the Pavilion after the evening service. So keep that in mind if you can stay for that. And then there's some changes here now. We have a Saturday, December 24th, Christmas Eve service at 4:30. Keep that in mind. And then Sunday, December 25th, we only have one service that day. Since Christmas falls on Sunday, the service will only be on the 11 o'clock hour. There will be no buses, no Sunday school, no children's churches or anything like that going on. Everybody will be in here. So keep that in mind if you would. Okay? And that's our announcements for that. If anybody has a prayer request to give to me, you've got my email address on here. All you have to do is email me. I'll gladly make sure Miss Stephanie gets it and takes care of it. So take care, make sure I get that. I've got one prayer request for you, or it's actually a couple. I've got a cousin over in North Carolina that is in very bad shape. He's younger than I am. In fact, several years younger than I am. But anyhow, he has come down with COVID off and on through this last year, but his health is going downhill real fast. In fact, they've called hospice in. So, his name is Russell Gaddy. Be praying for him, and be praying for his wife and his boy. Keep them in your prayers. And then also my aunt, his mom. She should be, I think, pretty close to 90 years old or late 80s. And she has dementia, but she fell and she broke some bones and everything. So be praying for her and her situation there. And if you would, and I'd greatly appreciate it. I'm going to put her both on the prayer list. So you'll see that on next week. Now, is there anybody over in this side over here that has a special prayer request? How about here in the middle? Yes. Okay. Be praying for that. Okay. Anybody else? How about over here on the right? Danny? Okay. Need to pray for that as well. Okay. Let's keep these in mind. Be praying for our service today and for what the Lord has for us. And be praying for the children's churches. Now, I mentioned it last Sunday, but some of you have helped out, and I'm not sure if the ones that have helped out are the ones that have gone home to be with the Lord, but we've lost so many, and it's their homecoming, but, we hate when that happens. But If there's anybody that wants to help with change through the next year, our missionary for the kids' bottle upstairs will be Victoria Radford. We're going to be helping her, and that'll be something we'll give her next Christmas. Okay, the one that I'm giving this month will be going to Ben Gallion. So if anybody has anything today, or maybe even tonight, that you would like to give me to put in that bottle, you know, just let me see me this evening or sometime this morning, and I'd greatly appreciate it. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you again for all your blessings. We just thank you for the fact that we can rely on you and you're unchanging. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you do answer prayer and you do hear our prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be with those prayer requests that have been mentioned, be with the ones on our list, be with our missionaries, dear Heavenly Father, at this time of year. I just pray and ask now that you be with our services. If there's any other needs here that are here this morning that just haven't been mentioned, I just pray that you take care of it this morning. For we ask it all in the blessed name of Jesus. Be with Brother Steve as he teaches. Speak through him. Give him what we need. For we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. Okay, I started Romans. I don't know. It's been a while back in between everything. And the Lord just kept pushing me another direction. I like Romans, and I want to finish the study. I started breaking it down and got some help books and this and that on it. It would probably take me 3 months to get through Romans. So I thought I would do... The church has done so much for me. You folks and everybody in here, I got up in front the other night and thanked everybody. The church which is the people, of course, in this building, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, is an important thing. And I've talked to that to a lot of people, you all and others. And they value the friendships and the people and the pastors and the deacons. Everybody puts a value on that. And that's a wonderful thing because if you talk to a lot of people, missionaries, I talked to Levi when he was here for a while, and he says that, and others say that, not just Levi, that this church is very rare for the love and the engagement that all the people have do and the prayers and all that we do, the financial part of it, the missionary part of it. We have services, you know, when other churches are not having services. Folks, don't ever take any of that for granted. And our church is patterned off the New Testament church, the old first century church. So I felt like I would just run down that path on the first century church and just kind of look at some details about how it got started, how Christ started it with the disciples. So we're going to look at that today. And we'll do a series here. I've got a series on it that I've done years ago that I dug out, and I've added some things to it. Always, every time you dig in the Word, you always find something else. And it's interesting that when you start looking at some of the words, I start reading and I'll say, well, why is that word there? And you dig into that, and it really enlightens you on some things. The more little details you have about God's Word, the more God can enlighten you on understanding of God's Word. Some of this language that was written down in Hebrew and Jewish, or Hebrew and Greek and other languages, words have different meanings. And they meant different things to them, but they mean things to us too. if you dig down into those things. And I think we all know that. And that's kind of what I like to do. So we look at the word church in the New Testament. It's not referencing to a building or a national church or some kind of denomination. And that's true in England when Levi and the team that's over there started setting up these New Testament churches. They found out that they couldn't call it church because those folks over there kind of associated the word with church as the national church or this church or that church organization. So what they just started doing is Levi's church is Beaches Road Baptist Chapel. They call it a chapel. And I never did understand why until I asked him. I said, why are you calling it a chapel? And he told me this about the word church. And the folks there in England, a lot of them had experiences with the church and all the ceremony and all those kind of things, and they weren't getting any meat of the word. So they call it a chapel, and that changes everybody's thinking on what those New Testament churches that Levi's group is setting up. They've got 10 of them now, and they're getting ready to go to, I think he's going to Netherlands this week to look at buildings that people are wanting to give them over there. And I think on the 8th or 9th of this coming month, they're going to Africa. And there's the man that's got a whole bunch of buildings and houses is going to give them to them because people want a church. They want a church body. They want saved people. Not some building, or not a name, or not a denomination. People are over there figuring it out. And it's not just happening in England. It's happening all over the world right now. There's a great outreach going through the church body, through missionaries, through New Testament churches being established. Many people are being saved because they see it's not a ceremony, or it's not some kind of system, or you're not joining some organization or a club or whatever. It's saved individuals trusting in what Christ did alone to carry out the Great Commission that the Bible lays out so clearly for us, which we do through missionaries and do locally, and this church does here in this part of the world. So the first century church started with Christ and his disciples and was empowered at Pentecost. So we look at the church as it's a called out assembly. And I want to start in Matthew there in chapter 16. And it says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do you say that I am, the Son of Man? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, and others a prophet. Well, how is that any different from what Pastor spoke last week or the week before, saying that people just say, well, I believe in this and I believe in that. Well, what's the truth? The truth is the word. And it was going on then. People didn't want to give, they didn't want to give Christ the preeminence in their lives. They were resistant sin in their life. Well, you know, everybody can just get to God their own way. I mean, that's what they were saying here. Some say that. But then he turns around, Christ says, well, he said unto them, but whom say ye I am? He puts it back on a personal note. Who do you say he is? What is Jesus to you? Oh, I know we all sit there and say, well, he's the one that died on the cross, rose again. He's in heaven at the right hand of God. And I trusted him to take me to heaven. We've all got that doctrine. But one of his names is I Am. And you can put anything behind that that you would like just about. There's so many hundreds of words that Christ, that means what Christ is. I am what? I am the Christ. To me, fresh on my heart and mind, he is Christ sitting there in heaven holding the hand of my wife. What is he to you? We've got many people here that has lost loved ones. And that's special to you. He's the one that can save. I've got a sister that needs to just, she's so close. And through the passing of my wife, this may be the trigger for her to be saved. Whom say ye is Christ? Whom say ye that who he is? Who he is to you? He can be different things to everybody. We all have different needs. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. See, these guys didn't understand anything about the Holy Spirit at the time. A lot of this stuff was going over their head. What did he say? Why did he call him? Does anybody really know why he called him Barjona? Anybody ever thought about that word? Brother of Jonah is what that means. Well, how does that associate to Simon, Peter? Peter being a dove, one of the meanings of the word. If we start digging into that, there's a lot to that. One of the commentaries that I've looked at this past week or so that I really like and this is not dogmatic. I mean, this is what people's thinking are and teaching is from words and from the previous verses and the next verses and all this. They put all that together and come up with this. Peter was a fisherman. Simon was a fisherman. Well, how did Jonah associate with a fisherman and the great fish that he got swallowed up by? And some days later, he was spit out on the shore to go do what he was supposed to do. What was he supposed to do? He was supposed to take the gospel to that part of the world at that time. How does that associate with Christ? Christ died, went down into the grave, and rose again. Well, associate that with the fish and Jonah. He basically died, went into the fish, and came out and took the gospel to that part of the world at that time. Look at Peter. How does that associate with Peter? Peter had that experience. I forget which town. He was in a town. He was down in a pit, in a jail. And his local church, they'd done gave him up to be dead, would never see him again. He was in the lowest part of the jail. Of course, we know the story. An angel came, an earthquake came, and shook the gates and led them out of that. And from that, the jailer and his family got saved. Peter goes down to the house that they were having church in and praying for him, goes to the door, and they thought he saw a ghost. Thought he was dead. There he is. He's rose from the dead, they thought. So you see how all that stuff parallels just in one word. And that's just a tiny bit of the mind of Christ. And how deep and how all this, the Old Testament and the New Testament, all blends together in a wonderful way. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Christ is, I can see Christ standing there. Thou art Peter. little rock. But on this rock, Christ was pointing to himself. He was talking about himself. Upon this rock I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise the Lord. Here we are, descendants from that church. Think about that. Not very far past. Not very far, some 2,000 years ago that this happened. That's not very long in looking at the history of the world that goes back 10,000 years. No, it's not a million, it's not a billion. No big bang. God created it. So if you start thinking about that, who is the foundation of this church right here? It is Christ. That's why the love pours out of this church. Because we're being Christ-like. It's an amazing thing. It's hard for us to understand. It's the Holy Spirit's business. What makes people feel like they're led that they need to send a card? What makes it people that wants to send a text and say, I'm praying for you? It's the Holy Spirit's pushing buttons in our lives if we allow him to. See, that's why the preacher preaches sometimes, you know, we just need a tune-up, if you want to look at it that way. It's hard to understand. Sometimes we get cold, and the Holy Spirit can't punch through that. Well, Christ was dealing with these disciples and giving them the understanding that he is going to be the foundation of the church. Because he's getting ready to send these boys out to teach and preach in a world that was eat up with evil stuff, burning babies in a statue, sacrificing their children, evil world. Is it any worse today? Or any better today? And you have politicians stand up and say, vote for me, I'm for abortion. How in the world can somebody stand up and say that? They as grandma used to say, the devil's in them crossways. I mean, the world's a mess. But look, here we are, free as a bird, worshiping God on this beautiful Sunday morning. And I know I'm going to see my wife again. And I know you're going to see your husband again. And I know you're going to see your wife again and your wife again. And on and on and on, we have that assurance. Because God said right here, I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not prevail against it. That's why one of the prayer things that we need to pray is we need to pray for our pastor and his family and this church, people, that the devil stays out of it. Folks, one person goes sour and can start fuming and fighting with somebody. It can go sideways. We need to pray every day, devil, pray a hedge around this church. Pray a hedge around our pastor. Pray a hedge around the staff. That the devil will not, cannot, will not get in this. Because he says right here that the gates of hell will not prevail with, can't get in. But they can get in if somebody gets sideways or has sin in their life, and it blocks the Holy Spirit from controlling them, and they're controlled by sin. Folks, sin is such a dangerous thing. And the devil don't have no new tricks. He uses the same old thing. My loved one, my sister, heard something in a church 30 years ago from somebody that said something they shouldn't have said. And she's holding on to that. How does people, Satan can blind people. But just something somebody says that's not right. Yeah, it wasn't right. But are you going to let what that person said send you to hell? Because the gates, Christ has done set this thing up that the gates of hell will not prevail against this church body and our pastor. Folks, it's so important to pray a hedge around this body of people and our pastor and our church body and the church building. It's lovely. Yes, look what we've got. This was answered prayer, a remodel. We had the money to do it because you gave it. Not some organization. We're independent, fundamental, believe the gospel, have our own missionaries, choose our own pastor, and boy, do we have a dandy now. That's what Christ set up right here. I need to move on. The first century church started, The first century church had saved membership, a saved membership. Let's look at Acts 2:41-42. It says, "And they gladly received the word and were baptized." Well, let's get all that in order, because God keeps the sentences in order and the words in the sentence in order. They received the word, they got saved, and were baptized. Okay? That right there is just another proof that saved first, then baptized. You can put that verse in your pocket. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Whew, what a revival that day. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and praying. They continued steadfast. Folks, you got to continue. You can't slow down. You can't sit back and say, "Well, I'm gonna rest a while." I can't. Never could. Yeah, I've been absent for a little while. But I got to get back engaged. The Lord won't leave me alone if I don't. Continue. We got to continue. You see that word up on our signage? We've got to continue. And how do we continue? With Christ and the Holy Spirit dwelling richly within us, believing in the doctrine, and don't go sideways on any of it in the world. Don't let anybody convince you that it's any different. Continue in faith. The right authority. We have the authority from God. We send our own missionaries. I said that already. The candidates that we look at. I love our youth pastor. Katie's kids love the youth pastor and his wife. Praise the Lord. We prayed him in here. We was praying for a good youth pastor. Well, through our pastor, he knew somebody that knew somebody, or he may have knew him anyway. you know, stuff just don't happen, people. God ordained that young man to be here to minister to my grandchildren. And we could just go on and on. I was just talking about Kyle. Saved people. Saved people. Guiding our children. I mean, we've heard, we can all think about crazy old bad stories about years ago when pastors went sideways and all the TV evangelism and all that junk. I mean, it was just junk. It was all crazy. They went this way and they went that way, had all the money, and money corrupts, and just exactly what the word says. The first century church had Christ as the only head. Our head controls our body. Christ is the head, controls this body. Right? Does Christ control you? Does he control your loved ones? Or are they out in some mischief? Folks, if you know it's wrong and you don't say something to one of your loved ones about it, yeah, they may get mad over it. But yeah, they may stop. And yeah, they may get saved. Bathe what you're going to say in the Holy Spirit. And say it right. Don't go to them and say, bless the Lord. Do you understand what you just did or what you just said or where you've been? That the devil's going to get a hold of you? Do it in the kindest, softest way that you can do it and bring them into this church body so they can be saved and trust Christ as their Savior. The first century church was always independent, self-governing, as these disciples went around and went to people's houses and started a little church. And I look at England and I just know that. Let's talk about the Ukraine. Bless those people's hearts. We were over there. Pastor's been over there. Just a family missionary told them about Jesus. They got saved and they wanted to start a church. Their daddy was in prison because of the communists, and the Iron Curtain fell and he got out. Little church, built a little church. More people got saved. What a wonderful thing how God has set all this in motion. And if we do it with God in the middle of it, it can't go wrong, because he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. But we've got to do it with God in the front of all of it. He is the head. We are the body. The head controls the body if you let it. The first century church took responsibility to evangelize the world. They decided that they were going to go out into the world, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, that verse says. Make God the goal. Our pastor makes God the goal. The deacons try to make God the goal. Us as members, we need to try to make God the goal. Now, I'm saying try, because they ain't none of us perfect. But if we keep that in our prayer life, help me to make God the goal today. Help me to go to the grocery store and start a conversation with somebody. That's really easy to do. Oh, how are you today? You like that bread right there? Yeah, no, I kind of like this over here. Seems like where you go to church at? I've seen you somewhere. You can strike up a conversation pretty easy. Most people like to talk. They'll tell you. But there's a few out there that don't get sour if one walks away and won't talk to you. The Holy Spirit just brought that person by for some reason. You may have sparked something in them, but don't get turned off with that. We want to evangelize the world. That's why Christ set this thing up in the organization that he set it up in. Spreading the gospel, starting other churches. My, the footprint of our missionaries. We need to get a map. I mean, it's around the world. I don't think the sun ever goes down on our missionaries. I mean, somewhere it's daylight. As the world turns and Sunday morning moves across the face of the earth, our missionaries are teaching everywhere in the world. People getting saved. People getting baptized. And we all, what a wonderful missionary program we've got. Thanks to Pastor Lasley and others years ago started that. I can remember in the little church that I came from in West Virginia, before I was there, I was in the Navy when they started that church. And I was a deacon within 2 or 3 years of joining that church and got real close to 2 or 3 of them. And one of the guys I bird hunted with a lot that was a deacon there, his brother was the pastor. And we were talking about our mission program. We had 100 missionaries in that little bitty church. We only had 150 people. And at that time, we were paying them $100 a piece. So our church was really giving up there. And my friend said, he said, you know, we didn't hardly have any money, hardly could pay the bills. And he said, we started that missionary program on $5,000 a year. And he said, after that, it exploded. The giving started coming in. The giving to the church, the tithing, the missionary program, it just went crazy. Now, is that not Jesus controlling things? Is that not Jesus speaking loudly, I like missionaries? And you're all doing the right thing. And not only did that happen, but the offerings, the tithes and offerings. While I was there, I got to design a gym and a stage, and we put that in and had all the money to pay for it. And on, God blessed. Because Christ was the head, and we were the body trying to follow the lead of Christ. Praise the Lord. It's all set up for us. Christ knew what he was doing when he did all this. He knew that we'd be sitting here today in Buffalo Ridge in one of the oldest churches in Tennessee. Isn't that a blessing? And if we look at the truth, the first century church was dedicated to be the pillar and the ground of truth. Well, it says in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he might have preeminence. That he may have preeminence in all things. Now, I want him to do that in my life. In the last 3 months, I wanted him to do that. And Debbie wanted that. Debbie was ready to go home. She told me many times a couple months ago, I'm ready to go home. What a wonderful peace that is. It's a peace that God says passes all understanding. The world don't understand that. But that's another thing that God's given us, is that peace. Let's go to Judges chapter 2, verse 10, and look at what's going on now in an Old Testament verse, in Judges 2:10, and also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the words which he had done for Israel, the works that he had done for Israel. No different today. There's Old Testament, easy to see today, that we have a generation, if not two or three now, that knows not the Lord. They forgot. Nobody's told them. Their parents haven't told them. What a mess some families are in. We have one parent families. We have kids with no parents living with their grandparents. And on it goes. We've got a generation, folks, that knows not the Lord. We live in a world as same as this right here in the Old Testament. They had forgotten God. And it'd been not very many years. It'd been like two generations. And can we look two generations back? We're talking my grandparents' parents back in late 1800s, early 1900s. Since then, have we went downhill in society? Generation rolls on. Folks, whose responsibility is it for us to get things going here? God said the gates of hell can't prevail against that effort. Call on his name. Say, I want this New Testament church. I want to bust the doors out of this place. I want the front seat full, the back seat full, everything full up there. Bring them in so the pastor can preach to them and preach Christ, preach salvation, preach what the New Testament church was set up to do, to see people saved and baptized. Oh, yeah, it's nice to have programs. And we'll have our Christmas programs and have great times and praise the Lord for Christmas and his birthday. And see the kids do their little program. And all that's so good. But what's preeminence here? People being saved and baptized. Change the world. And then the only good of them change is get them in here. Get them in here. And it's up to us. It's up to us to establish this New Testament church, to be able to bring them in, because we've got generations that don't know nothing. I mean, I'm just amazed at some people. Just, you go ask them what saves them, and they'll say, well, I've been good, and this and that, and I think we'll be okay. And they have no idea what Jesus did. They just know the name. Just try it sometime, and you'll see you run into people that don't know anything about evangelism, about Christ, about being born again, about the truth. The truth, folks, is right here. It's always been here. What the truth was then, the truth is now. You can't date this book. It's alive from the page one to the very end. It's alive. It's living. I can read it today, and 2 years from now, I can read the same verse. I don't remember that saying that to me, but it's saying something different. It's alive, folks. God made it that way. And the gates of hell can't prevail against this right here. Preach it. Teach it. Bring them in. Get them in these seats in front of our pastor. Establish this New Testament church. And let's go forward for the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. God, I thank you so much for how you established the New Testament church and the pattern that you gave us. Thank you for this church and the pattern it has and the saved body that we've got. Lord, bless it. Bless this church today. Bless our pastor. Give him the words to say today that will touch hearts, change lives with the gospel. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for this class and the faithful people that are here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.